Here is something worth reading. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today I want to direct you all to a recent position paper from the Thoracic Society of Australia and New Zealand. Urgent care and all generalist specialties either attract or repel clinicians based on the sheer breadth of what we need to know and cover. Some say it is the jack of all trades, master of some, that motivates and inspires their work in urgent care, while others prefer going into specialties in which you hone increased knowledge in a smaller area. I'm certainly in the former category, enjoying having to maintain a breadth of knowledge and skills, and happy to know my limits within each area and refer on accordingly. Urgent care, together with general practice and emergency medicine, are a large sieve or filter for the medical world. We must maintain wellness, correct minor unwellness and injury, and refer the more serious onto secondary and tertiary care. Existing at the top of this funnel means we might only see an example of a certain diagnosis once every 20 years, but we must be able to identify that when it comes by. The specialist in the tertiary centre will see maybe one a week, but we will be presenting our case at our peer review and will feel a certain level of pride in having made the diagnosis and assisted in the patient journey for what, to us, is a rare condition. So it's a horses for courses thing, and one of the many factors at play that influence why we might choose a particular specialty of medicine. But for those of us who work in urgent care, we rely on our specialist colleagues, not just to take the referrals for the patients for whom we have concern or who have obvious need for their services. We also rely on their guidance for managing a lot of the conditions for which they do not see. These guidelines for practice are there to aid us in our decision making and help us to manage conditions before they need a specialist, and help us decide at which point we need to engage a specialist. They're an essential tool for us to make informed decisions and make that fine balance between patient care, healthcare costs, and specialist availability. It helps us practice medicine in the imperfect world in which we live. So it is with these thoughts that I want to draw your attention to a recent position paper from the Thoracic Society of Australia and New Zealand, published in the official journal of the Asian Pacific Society of Respirology last month, and which is linked in the show notes. It is open access, and I would encourage you all to read it through. It is authored by John Blakey et al. And is called Oral Corticosteroid Stewardship for Asthma in Adults and Adolescents. Acute asthma presents to urgent care, and oral corticosteroids are part of the management plan in some instances. But as highlighted in this paper, overuse and over-reliance exists, and there are of course detrimental effects to this overuse. In the same way that the misuse of antibiotics has heralded antibiotic stewardship, the authors are outlining a pathway to implement stewardship for oral corticosteroid use in asthma. I would encourage you all to read it through, as it is not only an interesting read, covering current guidelines and management, but it is important that the urgent care community take an active interest in our specialist colleagues' efforts to improve patient care, particularly when it involves something we prescribe on a regular basis. I should point out that the guidelines mentioned in the paper are Australian, but as the paper is from the Thoracic Society of Australia and New Zealand, it is still worth us reviewing. It'll be worth watching this space to see the developments that come out of this position paper, and I think any efforts at stewardship will need the cooperation of GP, ED and urgent care, for we might all see these patients at different times, and so responsible prescribing will rely on us all knowing what the other is doing. So do check out the paper and take the time to reflect on what you find and perhaps discuss it at your peer group. Papers like this are great CPD for us to do and are yet further examples of the myriad ways in which we can easily meet our annual CPD requirements, whilst hopefully improving our practice and by extension, our patient care in the process. The paper's linked in the show notes. Now we'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening.